Hallelujah. You see, your expectation will tell you how hungry you are. And how hungry you are will move you to expect something from Christ. So let us expect something. So today, our reading is going to come from John chapter 4, verse 43 to 54. John chapter 4, verse 43 to 54. And our reading, after the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, you may go, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus Christ performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. Amen. Amen. This was the second sign Jesus Christ performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. Today I want to talk about the subject, healing is salvation. Healing is salvation. So I want you to turn to somebody and repeat this after me. Healing is salvation. Look at somebody in the eye and say, healing is salvation. And now tell the person that your healing is your salvation. Say it one more time. And now turn around and say, my healing is my salvation. My healing is my salvation. Amen. Healing is salvation. So today I want to talk about the subject healing, and then we're going to put it in practice. I always love to go to the beginning of the Bible, because Genesis is the beginning. It was never God's intended plan or apostolic plan that you and me will walk about the face of this earth sick, diseased, bruised, because God created us good. And in fact, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says, and when he has created all these things and given it to man and said, have dominion over these things, and he said, eat, enjoy yourselves, and have fun. These are my words, but go to scripture and read it yourself. And then he said that, then God saw that everything that he created was good, and indeed, very good. So if God has created everything good, sickness is not good, is it? Diseases are not good, is it? Some of you think it is good. It is not good. So when God created this, there was never a mention of diseases or sicknesses as part of the packages. He even mentioned about food, because I like eating food, right? He mentioned water. He mentioned even wealth. I mean, it's precious stones and everything. But he never mentioned sicknesses, diseases, and death. The time that he mentioned death is when disobedience come in. So indeed, when God created us, he blessed us with every good thing that the earth will produce and will offer to us. But what changed? The disobedience of Adam and Eve opened the floodgate for the consequences of their action to pass to the generations after them. So death came in. He said, the day that you eat or you will disobey me, you will die. So death came as a result of disobedience. And then sickness came. Then diseases. Then hatred came. At least we know that Cain killed his brother Abel, didn't we? Then deception came. Of course, the snake, meaning the Satan, was deceiving Eve. And then when God held Adam to a gun, he said, you know what? Eve, go and ask Eve. And when he asked Eve, he said, oh, well, the serpent deceived me. Everybody was deceiving each other, isn't it? They were blaming each other. So sometimes blames and other things are not taking responsibility. It's part of the enemy's strategy. Lies is part of it. And enmity also comes out of it. And murder comes out of this. Disobedience passing on to the generations. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we read, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. That means God is talking about the serpent being Satan, representing Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, what is God saying here? He says, as a result of the disobedience of our forefathers, the consequences passes on, and what is going to happen is that God, through Jesus Christ, will come to destroy the works of Satan, to bruise his head, the enemy's head. Satan's head means to destroy the works of Satan. But then God did not stop there. But then he said, and he will bruise your heels. So that means as you walk about and go about, some bruising will come onto you. And some of these bruising are sicknesses. Some of them are pain that comes as a result of death. Some of them will come as pain as a result of disappointment. Somebody walking out of your life. Somebody messing you about. Somebody discriminating against you. Somebody not giving you the job that you need. Somebody undermining you, backbiting you, dissing you. All this comes as a result of bruising. And some of them are emotional trauma that we go through, don't we? And God wants us to be healed. Look at somebody and say, God wants you to be healed. Make sure you are looking at somebody. Hallelujah. God wants you to be healed. God wants you to be healed. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. So that means the enemy, Satan, is not our friend. Satan is not our friend. If he is going to bruise us, then the bruising that he brings is not our friend. Do you understand the logic here? So that means the sicknesses that the enemy brings is not our friend, and we are not going to accept that. He's an enemy. An enemy is there to destroy you, not to hug you and kiss you. Do you understand that? An enemy don't like you. Has anybody seen somebody told you that I don't like you before? A few times people have told me that, look, I don't like you. I said, don't worry. So do I. Well, those days I was quick to respond. But this time when they say they don't like me, it doesn't bother me because I know God loves me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the bruising that the enemy brings does not come for your goodness. It doesn't glorify God for you to be walking in bruises, right? It doesn't glorify God for you to be walking in sicknesses and diseases and illness. God is never happy about it. If that is your theology today, I'm challenging you. That scripture does not tell us that God says that he is happy when we are sick. He is happy when we are ill. How many of you have been mothers before? Or fathers before? And when your child is sick, do you go about, dancing on the roof? No, you're never happy. You're so miserable. And you want your daughter or your son healed. Sicknesses are thus part of the curse that the enemy will bring on humans. This brings painful result to us and keep us away from our complete salvation. Sicknesses and disease are our enemies. And thus, you and me should not entertain it. This is why Christ had to come and bruise Satan's head, that destroy and the hold that the sicknesses will have upon us and the effect that disease brings upon us, and he will bring healing, meaning Jesus Christ will bring healing. And that's why you and me will earnestly have to rush to him and call on him for our salvation. For example, we earnestly go to our doctors, don't we, when we are sick, isn't it? When you are sick, you don't stay at home. When you are seriously sick, you want to quickly go and see your GP, don't you? Sometimes you run to the accident emergency department. Why? Because it is not good for you to be sick. Is it? It is not. So if it is not, logic tells us that we rush to our doctors for what? What do you rush to your doctors for? Because they are so handsome and beautiful? You rush them because you want your healing, don't you? If you go and see the doctors and they just put a stethoscope on you and say, go home, you feel very upset, don't you? Sometimes when you go and you are talking to your doctors and don't even listen to you and they start writing, you feel upset, isn't it? You've been thinking, the guy hasn't even listened to me and he's writing the prescription for me. Why? You want to be listened to. You want to feel the doctor to feel your heartbeat and know what is happening so that you can go home healed. So sometimes even though they write the prescription for you and may work for you, because you are so upset, it doesn't work for you, is it? Because you don't believe it, is it? You didn't think the doctor did a good job. How many of you have changed your GP before? Yeah? Yeah, you are. Well, I won't say what I thought about my previous GP. Right. No, therefore, God saved you and me for a reason. Because sickness is alien to our bodies. Sickness is not part of what we should harbor in our bodies, because to eventually destroy us if it is not removed or treated in our bodies. Sicknesses hurt us. That is why the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, says, surely he, Jesus, bore our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So if we follow the argument, he said he will bruise your heels. As you go about, the enemy will bring sicknesses upon you. Sometimes people say, well, the enemy doesn't bring his own, choices. Yes, our choices and wrong choices are always the result of not listening to good advice and not listening to what God's upper story plan is. Wrong choices will always get you into trouble. And this brings problems to us. And for that reason, by the stripes, that Jesus Christ going upon the cross, he brought the healing unto our lives. So you and me who are bruised, whether bruised in pain in your heart or physical pain, he came to heal us. That is why in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, a couple of weeks when I preached, the Bible said that when God took his people out of Egypt, that's when they first actually got the diseases was actually possible and mentioned in that Bible so much, that there was disease and illnesses. If nothing at all, through the 10 plagues, we saw diseases. So when they came out of Egypt, God saved them. And when God saved them, what happens? The people praise God. And when they praise God, what did he say? He said, I am the God that heals you. So it is in the interest of God to heal every man and every woman of sicknesses. I'm not here to come into the theological agreement, oh, but some people don't get healed. I don't want to even buy that. God will heal you if you want him to heal you. But there's a problem with healing. The problem of healing is that the very people who are the redeemed of God seem to have a problem with the word healing. Some have come to accept that it is okay to live in sicknesses. Many more don't even realize that a lot of sicknesses, diseases, and bruising will only be eliminated by the supernatural intervention of God. Do you understand that? Some sicknesses, we need intervention of God. Because sometimes we pray for our loved ones. Either we pray without believing it, or we pray we sincerely hope that it will happen. Because our churches have taught us that, oh, those things were done many years ago when Jesus Christ was alive. So we don't even believe that in our time, God has given us the privilege that we can also do that. So we pray. The Bible says you don't get answers because you pray amiss. That means you don't even believe in what you are praying about. You are hoping it's going to happen. But if you believe it's going to happen, it will happen. The Bible said anything that we ask for, believe in it, without doubting it is going to happen. We talk about faith. And sometimes we pray and people don't get healed. Why? Because we need supernatural intervention. We have to ask God, you know what? We're not just asking you to do something. We want something supernatural. That comes from the throne room of God. to come and hit the cancer where it is, to come and hit the pain where it is. We want the supernatural act of God to come and do signs and wonders and bring miracles into our lives. Because we want something beyond human understanding. Because the doctors can do as much as they can. When they get to a point, they said, this has no solution. Have you heard that before? I've heard that many times. This has no solution. So when it comes to that point, the only solution that you may have is a supernatural intervention of God. And that's why we want the supernatural God to intervene. And what he does so much so well, most of the time, is healing those who are sick. Did you realize that when Jesus Christ came on this earth, most of the things that he did was healing the sick? Healing those who were bruised. Comforting people who were suffering from the effects of losing their loved ones and raising them back to death, to life, so that the pain that is in their heart will turn into joy. Most of the work that Jesus Christ did was about healing. He came to restore what God wants you and me to have right from the beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll be thinking, oh God, when is he going to go into the passage? Yeah, we are in there. Now, after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. Can bring verse 43 so that we can move on slowly through it. He departed from there and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. You see, Jesus must have honor in our lives. Whatever we do, Jesus must have honor in our lives. He must have that first place. If you honor somebody, you do what? You lift that person up. Right? Sometimes you go to certain places, and if you want to honor somebody, you show your respect by the way you greet that person. At least we all know the queen, don't we? When you go near the queen, the men, once upon a time, you used to take off your hats when we were going to secondary school. So, hello, good morning, Mr. Gallimore. These days, they probably will throw their hat at Mr. Gallimore when they see him. This used to happen here in this country. And some places, there's people say good morning to people when they meet them. You just came from the Caribbean. You know that, isn't it? They never walk past you. And they say good morning. So it is in Africa. And of course, it is even in this country. Because I went on a narrow boat some years back. And when I was on this boat and steering it, everyone who steered past me actually greeted me. And I soon found out, oh, that's the way they do things. I better do it before somebody ram me up. That is showing honor to somebody. You must honor God. And Jesus must be honored among his own people. This happens when we see and believe that Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one. Because 1 John chapter 3 verse 18 said that I have come. So the devil has been a sinner from the beginning. But then Jesus Christ has come to give you peace and life and to destroy the works of the evil one. Because sin brought diseases and sicknesses, pain, hurt, and death. And Jesus Christ came to destroy. That's why he rose from the dead. So that he would destroy the works of the evil one. Death is the works of the evil one. Sicknesses, most of them lead to death. And it's the works of the evil one. And sometimes you and me go through that and we find the pain that leads to death. Let your mom or dad leave the scene or someone you love leave the scene through sickness. And you see them go through the pain of death. And I tell you, sudden death, sometimes you get healed quicker. But the slow death, the pain sinks in deeper and deeper and deeper. It takes longer and longer and longer before it goes. That's why Jesus Christ said, I came to heal those who were bruised. And by his stripes, we are healed. He was bruised for our transgression. By his stripes, we are healed. He came to heal us. And he came to destroy the works of the evil one. 1 John 1, 3:8. When we are healed, we give glory and thanksgiving to God. By testifying to it, means by verbalizing about it. In doing so, we tell the devil that he is defeated. He came to destroy the works of the evil one. So when you are healed and you testify, you verbalize, you tell people, hey, you know what? I've been healed. You know what? You tell the devil that, you know what? I've had victory over you. When you get healed of cancer, don't you tell people that you have been healed. When you have an operation and you come out successful, why don't you tell everybody in the world and social media that it is okay with you? Why? Because you are saying that you have overcome the sicknesses that was controlling your life. So you are also saying, I have overcome the sicknesses, the diseases, and the source of those. If the enemy is the source of it, I have defeated it. If there's a curse of a witchcraft or a wizard, if you believe that, then you have overcome that and the source of it. Hallelujah. Amen. We have overcome that. That is what we are trying to say. So we testify to it. In doing so, we tell the devil that he's defeated. The people of Israel sang and danced and praised God in Exodus chapter 15. And why did they do that? They did that. And when they did that and praised God, you know one of the things that he said? They said, I will praise my living God, for he has triumphed gloriously over the Egyptians, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Did you get that? They were enforcing the enemy's victory. The Egyptians were their enemy. And when they were saved, he said, he has triumphed victoriously over them. That was their song. That was their praise with their tambourines and with their dancing in their worship. That is what they were saying. The horse and the rider has been thrown to the sea. That means the pursuer of them, the one who brings those things for them. And now we said, look, the sicknesses that we had over there, the problems of food that we had over there, the whipping and the chastisement that we got there, the servitude that we got there, the horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea. So all these things that you have has been thrown into the sea. So they verbalize that. They praise God. But so it's not a matter of thanksgiving, but it's a matter of saying, Satan, you have been defeated. The horse and the rider has been defeated. The Israelites were verbalizing their deliverance to tell the Egyptians and all the nations that their God had done a miracle and he will do it again. Amen. Their God has done a miracle and he will do it again. When you take medication and you know that it works for you, what do? You take it again when you have the same problem, don't you? So similarly, so when God heals you, he's telling that, look, you have to believe that God can do it again. So if God had healed people in the past and God has healed people in the now, he's able to do it again. So I'm challenging the way we've been taught. As Christians, I'm a Baptist minister, and I'm telling you this is what Scripture says. Because one of the things that Baptists, we pride ourselves about is that we know Scripture, don't we? But sometimes our Scripture is only here, or on our websites, what we believe. We believe. But when it comes to application, I'm not sure what I believe is applicable. Oh, there's an exception to this. We always find reason to give excuses. When God is doing things, there's no excuses. He does it so beautiful, and he wants to do it again. They testify their deliverance. When they were singing, they were actually not only singing to themselves, but they were singing to the nations around, that I want to sound a warning to you, that if our God has delivered us, if our God has healed us, he will do it again. And soon after that song, go and read it from Exodus chapter 15, from verse 15 to 25, after they finished that, God said, now, if you listen to my voice and do what I'm telling you, I'll put none of the diseases that you saw on the Israelites, on the Egyptians, on you, for I am the Lord, your healer. After they've sounded that note to the surrounding nations that our God has healed us. So everybody knew that these are the people. There was a time, if you read the book of 1 Samuel, you see that, there was a time that the Israelites were moving and the ark of God was captured by the Philistines, and because of the Israelite sins. And when the ark of God when they captured it, all their homes, they had boils and all sort of tumors, like cancer tumors in their homes and in their houses. Sicknesses came upon them. And you know what? They realized that if they release the ark of God, the sicknesses will go. So they released it, and they were healed. Do you understand that? Our God is a healer. When you bring his presence into your home, there's always the supernatural. But you've got to be identifying with him. So, John chapter 4, verse 45. If you bring it up, You see, verse 44 said, but Jesus Christ knew that the prophet has no honor in his home because the very people who were supposed to believe him would not believe him. But when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. They had been where the miracles were happening. So, when the Galileans received him, having seen all that they had done, they welcomed Jesus Christ. We, like the Galileans, should receive him by believing scripture today. The Judeans didn't receive Jesus, so he went back to where the Galileans were. So if we do not believe what God can do, then God will move to where people will receive him to do what he will do. We've got to know that. So sometimes I'm thinking, why is God doing it for my sister over there and not me? Why isn't God doing it for me? Because if you don't believe that he would do it, why would he waste his time trying to convince you? God doesn't need to convince you and me. You have to believe in, because you don't have to go and convince the doctor whether he's qualified or not. As long as you know he's a doctor, you know that he can heal you, don't you? Simple argument. How many of us have gone to the doctor's surgery and said, doctor, can you show me your certificate before you diagnose anything? We just go and we know that this man can do it or this woman can do it. So whatever he tells us, he does it. So what we, you and me, need to do is to also walk into the surgery of our God, believing without doubting that he is able to bring healing to you and me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Judeans receive him. If you don't receive Jesus and his word, he'll go wherever they will receive him. So verse 46 and 47, it says this. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee. Bring it back. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, right, verse 46. One more, please. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official. In my translation, King James Version, it said, a noble man was there, whose son lay sick at Capernaum, verse 47. And this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea. He went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him. My translation says he begged him or implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. The nobleman earnestly asked Jesus. That means he prayed to Jesus that he would go and heal his son, who was critically and severely ill. The nobleman would not accept sickness or death as the solution or God's plan for his son. So he begged Jesus to go and heal him. If he accepted that, oh, my son is going to die, he would have sat back and said, yes, let my son die, isn't it? But the preceding verse said that they have heard what Jesus Christ had done in Cana. And how many of us have heard and read in the Bible that Jesus Christ healed? And yet we are at a point that we need healing. And sometimes you even get so confused when you are sick, don't you? Have you seen many people who are sick and they don't even want to take no medication before? Because they are so confused, and that's the enemy's strategy. Because the enemy's stronghold is death, for you to die. And we don't have to die any sudden death, unnecessary death, because there is a solution. We don't have to die and stand home and sit home and die because there are doctors and nurses out there who can help us. That is why we rush to them. So likewise, we have to not sit and take death and serious sicknesses as the solution to our life and kill off and die. Sometimes what killed many people of cancer, I've never suffered cancer before, but I've seen quite a few before, that most people have seen give up. Most people have seen give up, but at least I know one person or two people, even in this church, who look at cancer in the face and they will not give up. And they live today and they're looking at me today. And I thank God for Jesus. We have to look at it in his face and say, we are not accepting it. The nobleman would not accept that. Another important point to note is that the nobleman recognized the anointing and the healing power in the man Jesus. So he said, "Jesus, please come and heal my son." He recognized the anointing on Jesus Christ. And we have to recognize the anointing to heal on Jesus Christ. Listen to that in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. And look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He said, "The Spirit of the living God is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news." Then he goes on to set those who are oppressed free, those who are captives free, and to heal those who are bruised. The Spirit of God has anointed him to bring healing to the bruised and to the sicknesses and those who are in prison. Addiction, all forms of addiction and all forms of imprisonment, oppression, and all forms of things that will hurt you and break you down, the Spirit of the living God has anointed him. So the man recognized that. So when he recognized that anointing, you know what he did? He placed a demand on that anointing. Hallelujah. He placed a demand on that anointing. So if you and me recognize that Jesus Christ is a healer, then we have to place a demand on that anointing in him, the healing power on him. We have to say, "Jesus Christ, I want that healing. Heal me in Jesus' name." We have to say that. And I love that woman who was had an issue of blood. That means she had a hemorrhaging for 12 years. The Bible said she has spent all her money on doctors and physicians and specialists, and it didn't work for her. And when she saw that Jesus Christ was passing, you know what? She must have seen something. She must have heard something. She must have seen the anointing. And she said, "If only I would touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." She placed a demand on Jesus Christ for healing. And when she placed a demand on Jesus Christ, she got her healing in Jesus' name. So today I want to challenge you, whether it's an emotional healing that you need, whether it's a psychological healing that you need, whether it's a physical healing that you need, you have to place a demand on Jesus Christ. That man Jesus is here. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not Jesus of yesterday and today. We don't know. Tomorrow, we're not sure. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are sitting here not because you are born a Christian. You are sitting here because you believe in Jesus. So if you believe in Jesus, the point for you and the challenge for you is that place the demand for your healing. Don't sit down and perish. Don't sit down and get broken. Don't accept your situation. It will damage you. Depression will mess you up. It will end up giving you mental illness. Disappointment will mess you up. It will end up really tearing your heart apart and sometimes emotionally a zombie. I've seen people like that. They were so disappointed and they sat in their disappointment, not asking for healing. Sometimes they say, "Go for to the doctors," and doctors say, "Well, they can't give you pills for disappointment, isn't it?" They can't. So they say, "Go for counseling." And good as it is, at the end of the day, sometimes it works. Sometimes you are where you are. What we need is healing. We need healing. So today, if you are ready to place demand on Jesus' anointing, he will heal you. I'll pick this last point because I've been showing the placard soon, and I'll finish. Jesus responds to that healing. Listen, it is acceptable year of the Lord to receive your healing. It is acceptable day of the Lord to receive your healing. So verse 48 to 49, then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you by no means believe." The nobleman said, or the royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will never believe it." So today I'm praying that you will see signs and wonders in your life so that you will leave this place knowing that you can believe in Jesus Christ. Healing is a supernatural act of God, and God does heal with signs and with wonders, so that you will believe him more. You see, reason why sometimes our life is this way and that way, wishy-washy, church today, miss it 2 Sundays, church tomorrow, because we don't even believe in the healing power of Jesus. We don't believe in the signs and the wonders of Jesus. We don't believe that Jesus Christ is a miraculous God. He brings supernatural act to turn our lives around. We have no need to. We have no reason to believe them because we don't. We need signs and wonders. How will you know that you are getting healed or have been healed after you've been to a doctor or taking some medication? You know when the signs are, you are not sick anymore, isn't it? So we need signs. So if you are sick, You have to say, God, I need your sign of healing. I need wonder, miraculous. Wonders are things that causes you to marvel and give praise to someone. And in this case, we give praise to God and we shame the devil. So the nobleman said to him, verse 49, "Sir, come down and heal my child before my child dies. Come down before my child dies." And Jesus said, in verse 50, please, Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servant met him with the news that his boy was healed. Isn't this incredible? He said, "Go, your son will live." Jesus didn't even go to the home. He said, "Go, your son will live." Thank you. That's a good one. Keep the note going. "Go, your son will live." And while he was still going, his servant met him and said, "Your son will live." Jesus said, "Go your way. Your son will live." In my translation, said, "So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going, his servant met him and told him, saying, 'Your son lives.' The nobleman believed Jesus' word, and the word was, 'Go, your son lives.'" You see, the imploring of Jesus or begging of Jesus, that means praying to him and believing, produced a healing result. And as he went, this word, "and as he was going," or "as he went," meaning that very moment that he took action, believing Jesus' words, his son got healed that same hour. So the father knew. When they asked, when the master asked him, "What time did my son get well?" And they said, "At the seventh hour of yesterday." And he said, at that moment, he knew that that very moment was when Jesus said, "Go, your son heals you." So I'll conclude by saying, healing is our salvation. A whole household believe in Jesus Christ because of the signs and wonders, which is the miracle of healing. So we're going to get up right now after having sat down for a little while. Let my worship team come out rather and help us out. And we're going to praise the name of God. We're going to worship him. We're going to pray. And as we sang and as we praise, I would like you to literally demand, place a demand upon the anointing that is coming through the worship. Place a demand upon Jesus Christ and say, "Jesus, I claim my healing." Place a demand upon him. Believe him and trust him. And as you continue to do that, place a demand on him for somebody else, because this man was actually praying to Jesus Christ for somebody else. It wasn't him, right? For somebody else. And Jesus heard it. So you can also intercede for somebody. Today we want to pray, and I want to pray, want to receive our healing. I want us to seriously pray, because I've seen this before and I've known this before. I've seen healing in this church many times. I've seen healing in many places that I've been to, or other places that I've been others as a service or whatever it is. I've seen that Jesus heals today. And healing is our salvation. And I want us to really stretch forth our hand and claim our healing. So we, like that man, should say, "Come and heal me. Come, heal my son. Come and heal my husband. Come and heal my wife. Come and heal my daughter. Come and heal my children. Come and heal the emotions. Come and heal the psychology. Come and heal the physical, diseases of me." Hallelujah. Please pray something and then we'll pray.